friend of the show,
Jeff Dan, Blair
to get into
show,
the Baltimore Orioles.
I would be honored to be a friend of the Jeff Blair Show.
Now, we got to ask you right out of the gate, why do your fans hate Jose Bautista so much?
He's
a lovable guy. I mean, we love him to death.
He's the villain when he comes into Camden Yards, right?
Yeah.
We have this good rivalry going between him and Darren O'Day, which he won a few times,
yes,
by the way, with home runs. He put an exclamation point on a couple of games. And he threw out his arm.
Yes.
Yeah,
against the Orioles. He got so passionate.
I just thought you were going to go with another word that started with
and lost his temper.
Yeah.
That he was out for a while. So anyway, it's just a really good rivalry.
Did you tell it? The story's out there that the Orioles, I don't know about you personally, but the Orioles told Jose's people, we're not interested in signing you because our fans hate you.
I told the agent, I said, we're not interested. Our fans do not like your player.
You said that,
you
really?
Said that?
I told the agent that, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Marks for honesty.
Huh?
Yeah, we appreciate the forthrightness. Certainly wasn't expecting that answer.
The agent told you that, huh?
Well, the agent told somebody that because it was all over Twitter.
No, our fans do not like Jose Bautista, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, he's one of the rivals in the division.
Now,
that may change if the market comes down.
I was going to say, there's a price tag in hatred. It's like anything else.
Well, we could always reconsider. He's got a qualifying offer also out there.
That's true.
And I think that has some impact on the clubs when they take a look at putting their team together, right? You know, whether you have to give up that first-round draft pick. And this is the last year that you can get that first-round pick. After that, of course, the compensation is diluted, so you're not going to have as attractive a complement when a player that has qualifying offer signs with another club.
Yeah, and before this new CBA, was it an attractive thing to a general manager to say, well, we can sign this guy who's got the pick attached because eventually we can recover that pick when he leaves us? When the contract is over?
Right, right. But now you may recover a pick, but it's going to be a much lesser pick.
Right.
And, you know, you're absolutely right. The equation that you put forward was it made it a little easier to sign a player knowing that you may get the pick back when the player goes, you know, provided he performs at the high level.
You've been doing this for a while now. Why, Dan, has the market changed for... you know, sluggers in their mid-30s, maybe on the other side of 35. We had Ned Coletti on yesterday, and he was talking about how there was a time in baseball when 38 played like 28 for a variety of reasons. Now 38 plays like 38.
Wow.
And we've seen a lot of guys sign, you know, one-year contracts, two-year contracts. You've got a free agent out there, Mark Trumbo, might kind of fit into that category. Is there just a different approach now to guys in their 30s, especially sluggers?
Well, when the sluggers were hitting, you know, a lot of home runs late into their career, and by late I mean after 35, it was easier to sign them to a longer term deal.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball has always been a young man's game, and then you know for a while there were some players having their best years at 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Bonds and Clemens, I mean, a couple of those guys had terrific years. You know, when they were late in their careers. But it's not so much anymore. And, you know, teams are placing a lot of emphasis, right or wrong, on the defense of the players, right? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when the sluggers age, they still slug. But they may not be able to play defense at a position like they did earlier in their career. So I think teams are factoring that into how they value these sluggers on the market.
Does that factor in for you with maybe bringing back a Mark Trumbo?
Well, we've made an offer. We made a couple offers to Trumbo to try to sign him. We haven't been able to get together with him on the value. He's a slugger. He's not in his late 30s. He's 30 years old. Had the best year of his career with us. Kid had a terrific year, which we really appreciate. He won the Silver Slugger, made the All-Star team.
You're welcome, by the way, for one of his home runs. That one was, the 45th was on me, I believe.
Why would you take credit for that?
Because I've been blamed for it. Because when he came up in the eighth inning,
oh,
I think it was
right
the last game that you guys played in Toronto, I mentioned that he hadn't hit a single home run against the Blue Jays all season, and he hit the next pitch out.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know your fans don't like Jose Bautista, which is in some ways understandable, quite frankly. What about Edwin? Have you guys had any talks about Edwin? And is he a guy, as an observer, is he a guy who may have a difficult time getting a four-year contract in this market?
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I looked at Edwin's, and he's had a terrific career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three of the last 4 years, bang-out years, right? Over 100 RBIs.
Yeah.
Now, this guy can hit, and he can get a hit when you need a hit to drive in a run. So I think he's going to get a good contract, but again, he's got the qualifying offer attached to his contract, and that's going to impact, you know, where he goes and who takes him.
Your friend David Dombrowski made quite a splash yesterday. Somebody asked him at the news conference, "Have you ever traded a prospect like that?" And I was hoping David would say, "Well, I am the guy that traded Randy Johnson for Mark Langston," but
he didn't come out and say that.
He did not come out and say that. No, he didn't come out and say that. He could have though. Look, that's a bold move. I think the White Sox did pretty well in that transaction. The Red Sox once again look really good. In the East, are we in kind of a strange time in the East right now? Because the Red Sox are doing that. The Yankees are sort of trying to accumulate young players. Tampa Bay's still Tampa Bay. Toronto's got an old team. You guys are sort of trying to patch things together. Are we just in a time right now in the American League East where there's just a whole bunch of change going on, and it's almost like teams are going in a couple of different directions?
Well, the American League East is tough, right? I mean, that's a rough playground. These guys in Boston, New York, they got unbelievable resources. Now, Toronto, the last couple of years, has built up their team, and look at what the fan base has done and how they've responded in Toronto. I mean, you got the whole country behind you. Mm-hmm. So you got three what I consider major market teams in there, and their fans love baseball. They got very passionate people running the teams that try to do good every year. Tampa has a good pitching program. The Orioles are very competitive. But it's like, who rebuilds in the American League East? Who says, I'm going to take this year off, and we're just going to wave the white flag, throw in the towel, and we're going to rebuild? They don't do that in the American League East.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to go out every night. You got to play a complete game. And I think that's good for the fans. But it's tough on the teams. It's really tough on the pitchers, because these teams with a lot of resources, they get deep lineups. And to get out deep lineups, you got to have a deep pitching staff. So it's a grind every year in the American League East. But it's good for the fans. You know, the Red Sox won a division this year. We tied with the Blue Jays, right? The Yankees are always competitive. Tampa Bay's down a little bit. They got to get their program back on track.
Mm-hmm.
But the other four teams the last, what, 4 or 5 years, they're all very competitive year in and year out.
Yeah, everybody's won the division at some point in the last, I think, 6 or 7 years. You mentioned, the three major market teams, Toronto, Boston, and New York. And just from an outsider's perspective, used to be, couldn't get a ticket at Camden Yards, right, for years, sold out for years and years. And the Orioles have been good. Division winners a couple of years ago, in the playoffs last year, all that stuff, and we see that the crowds aren't quite there. What's going on in Baltimore as far as attendance? Why isn't it as full as it used to be?
Well, we've done pretty well in our attendance over the last 5 years. We went up every year until this year. We went back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been competitive. We've been in the playoffs three of the last five seasons, which is good. There was a drought there for 14 years where the team wasn't competitive.
We got you beat on that.
But, you know, we're back. The team's back. We have good young players in Machado, of course, and John Scope. They like Adam Jones, Chris Davis, J.J. Hardy. I mean, they've been the staples. So our fans like the players, and they come out and they support the team. Now, we didn't have a great year at the gate last year. We do have another team in the market since the Nats came down from Montreal, and they did take some fans from the Orioles when they came. A lot of them stay over on that side of the of the community. I know that because when we play at Nats Park, we get a lot of Orioles fans there. So, you know, there's another team in the market since the heyday of the Orioles in the late 90s, right? 96, 97. And Camden Yards was new. I think we're going on our 25th year this year. We're celebrating the 25th anniversary of Camden Yards. But the fans are supportive of the club. They're just not as supportive as they were during the Oriole heydays. I think that some of that's got to do with the other team in the market. The other thing is that we have this huge following on our cable TV, and the quality of the broadcast is just terrific. I mean, fans can stay at home and watch the Orioles very comfortably, see a lot, and follow the game story.
But what they don't get, and with all due respect to the crew at Rogers Center, best music in the American League comes at Camden Yards.
Oh, I'm going to tell our guys that. I'm glad you liked it. They work hard on that.
And absolutely.
But the ambiance of coming to a ball game at Camden Yards is just a classic baseball park. We use it for only baseball. Mr. Angelos doesn't use it for any rock concerts. You don't get any tractor pulls in there. It's a baseball field, and you know it's a baseball field when you walk in on Utah Street and you see all the balls that are hit out into the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's where David Ortiz hit a ball. You know, there's where Chris Davis hit a ball. Freddie McGriff's got a couple out there. So, and you can feel the baseball tradition there. You know, Babe Ruth Museum is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. And it's right there in the Inner Harbor. So it's a beautiful ballpark. It's a great take. And I'm hopeful that our fans will come back in good numbers this year.
Dan, we appreciate you joining us. Always good to talk to you. Always good to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Dan.